here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Yo, dog pack, diehard dogs, Browns backers worldwide. It is that time of year. It is Throwback Thursday, and I am back. I am Kenny Mack, and you've probably seen me sprinkled through a couple of episodes in the last year, probably go through a couple more in the upcoming year. And I just love talking Browns, and I get a chance to help out on the show. And what a time now to talk about throwback. And throwback is basically a chance to look at a player's history. We all love talking Browns, and we got to make time for the guys that, you know, won a couple championships back in the day, had some really great teams, had some down times, and we're in a unique spot as a fan in our fandom. We got a team that we love that kind of left and came back, but they had the same name, got to keep the same stats. So we got to pay honor to some of those guys that kind of toughed it out during those tough times. So these Throwback Thursdays, like I said, it's a chance to look back at players' history. We can reminisce about some of the plays they made, see what they're doing now. And sometimes, you know, we get to dive into and imagine, hey, what if that guy was on this team right now or that team in that time period? How would that have looked and how would that would have been? But before we get started with the podcast, let's actually talk about the podcast. There are close to 10,000 subscribers, and that's be a huge feat for them to accomplish. And let's get that done for them. Just hit that sub button. Leave a comment too. Like the program, like this program. Tell me what's going on. Like him on all the socials. They're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you name it, you'll probably find him on it. You can leave a comment, tag us on the post, we'll find you, we'll comment, give you the best of our knowledge or opinion of what we can do or what we think. Last but not least, though, check out their website. And it's super easy. It's just like the name. It's www.thedogspodcast.com. You can check out the merch store. I've got some awesome stuff for myself. You can treat yourself too. And there's tons of discounts coming, especially if you sign up and become a Dog Pack member. Just get to the website, sign up. That's how I kind of got started. I was leaving voicemails, signed up as a Dog Pack member. I'm a YouTube member as well. So get on, become a part of the team, and let's go, guys. But before I get started, I do want to say, if you have missed it, do not miss the interviews those guys got to do with some of the National High School Hall of Fame inductees for this year, 2024. That episode came out on June 10th, and I think you're really going to like it. The interviews were awesome. You'll get to hear the thoughts on the state of the high school game. You'll get to hear thoughts on the Browns, football in general, life after football. But here's some of the names, guys. You're not going to believe who they got to talk to. Eddie freaking George, Ted Ginn Jr., Mad Dog Golic, that's right, Bob Mad Dog Golic, Nate Burleson, man. Nate Burleson gave him some time, and one of our faves, Coach Stump Mitchell. So don't miss that out. Remember, look up June 10th, that episode. You won't regret it. So let's get right into it. The biggest change this season is going to be at the return game, specifically the kickoff game. So let's set the stage for you a little bit and help you understand what's coming up this season. This change, man, has been noted as a drastic one. And it was termed one of the most significant ones in the NFL ever. So here's what you got to know. First of all, it's a trial run. It's for this year. It's not forever. So if they make good of it, then we're going to have it for a longer time. The NFL version of this, so they've taken a version from the XFL, and there's a landing zone on it, and kind of this is how it works. So the kicker's going to line up at his own 35-yard line. So what happens now in the XFL is at the 30. The kicking team then lines up 10 players in front of that person, but it's on the opponent's 40-yard line. And while the receiving team, they can put 9 to 10 guys on the 35-yard line. And that's just like the XFL. The only difference is the NFL version, you can put 2 returnmen deep. Both have special teams players. Okay, they're all 5 yards apart. The ball must arrive in this landing zone. And in the landing zone, that's kind of like the red zone. And that's from the return team's 20 to the goal line. So the ball can hit the ground anywhere in the zone or be caught. But as soon as the kicker hits the ball, he and the returnman can move, but no other player. So I think I said hit, kicks the ball is what I wanted to say. So the kicker kicks the ball, he can move, the two returnmen can move. Once the returner touches the ball, or the ball hits the turf, both the kickoff team and the kickoff return squads can move. How they're going to accomplish this, I don't know. If you guys want to learn more about this, I did contribute to an article through Dogs by Nature from Barry Shuck. I gave some of my opinions on what they can and cannot do. But take a look at that article. It was around August 14th, Dogs by Nature. And you know Mr. Barry Shuck. He's been on here a couple times. He's a draft wizard, and he's got a ton of useful information. So you guys got to know this for the upcoming season, but why am I talking about this? Well, this quick dive into this rule change probably gave away who I'm going to showcase in this episode. But if you could pick any returner through the history of the Orange and Browns, who would you take? Well, with this new rule, you know who I'm taking? Josh freaking Cribbs. That's right, man. One of the best to ever do it. And this guy, he wasn't your typical speed machine compared to some of the other elites at the position. He was actually a quarterback in college. And man, this guy could truck people. So where did it all start? Well, it all began in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. On June 9th, 1983, this guy came tumbling out to the world. And what did he have to follow? Well, what most of these guys do. It's either the dad or the brother, or maybe another relative, but that's usually it. Well, he followed his big brother's footsteps. Harold was his name, and man, he loved using Josh for a tackling dummy. And his big bro hit him hard, like made him cry hard. But what can you say? Like, that probably put JC in the right direction, don't you think? And you know, Cribbs went on to attend Dunbar High School, which was a well-known, well-to-do high school for football. In the area, he was also named first team All-Met by the Washington Post. High school team was also known as the Crimson Tide, and they won 3 DCIAA championships in a row while Cribbs was there. So he was already forming a winner's attitude. As far as a person, I mean, what I read about him, he was a bit of a goody two-shoes, but, I mean, he got where he needed to be. Some interesting notes, though, when he was in high school. He played with a tight end. I think you might have heard of him before. Vernon Davis. He played for the 49ers. And I think it's important that this is one fact that stands out. Whenever I do these episodes, these guys were always well-rounded athletes. They didn't just, you know, concentrate on one sport. He also lettered in baseball, basketball, and swimming. And, you know, one thing I do want to congratulate Mr. Cribbs on, congratulations on your induction to the 2024 National Football Hall of Fame. We found that out in that episode that I mentioned earlier. That's June 10th, the episode about The National Football Hall of Fame. So don't miss out on that. And one thing about Josh Cribbs is if you would have asked him in high school what he would have done, he would have preferred probably to play baseball. And there's a story out there that he was 11 years old and in the Washington area, the Anaheim Angels actually came out to find a young kid that they could develop and sent into the minor leagues at a very early age. Well, he was one of the people with his buddy who was 12 years old while he was 11, and they finished 1-2, but it was the guy, his buddy, 12 years old, that got the contract and the signing bonus, 20,000 G's. When you're 12 years old, that's pretty crazy. And he was the actual football fan of the two of them when he loved baseball. So that probably added more fuel to the fire. But what did Josh have to do? Well, I mean, he was coming out of high school and the first thing everybody wanted to do was move positions. You can play DB, you can do this, you can do that. Well, moving on to college, the Kent State Golden Flashes, they not only wanted him to play quarterback, but they were willing to give him a shot as a freshman. And you know what? That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to play quarterback. So he was starting off and he had a hell of a couple years for the Kent State Golden Flashes. He was Mr. Offense. He still has the all-time leader. He still is the all-time leader in total yards with 10,839. He holds a bunch of records there. So school records include rushing touchdowns, 38, passing completions, 616, passing attempts, 1,123, passing yardage, 7,169, touchdowns scored, 41, which accumulated to another record, points scored, 246. Wow. Those are some super interesting stats. He actually even missed some time. He broke his ankle. There was a suspension. He got into a little trouble on a New Year's. I guess he got stopped or pulled over and one of his buddies had some marijuana and that got him kicked off the team for a little bit. So, I mean, he would have buried those records had he played every single game, but you know, you don't see too many four-year starters in the league anymore. And for him to get those 4 years, he made the most of it. He's got some really interesting stats, though. And a lot of this got maybe overlooked at the combine, or maybe they just pegged him as a quarterback and couldn't move him on. But he is one of two freshmen to rush and pass for 1,000 yards. Now, the other guy is interesting. So that's Armani Edwards. And I know we got a ton of Buckeyes fans here. And you know what he did. He was with Appalachian State and they upset in 2007 the Michigan Wolverines, which was the biggest upset that year, termed by Sports Illustrated. He is one of eight to rush and pass for 1,000 yards. That's right. So remember, the last one was rushing and passing for 1,000. Not combined, he did both, so 2,000 or more yards. And he did this for two consecutive years, so there's eight people to do it. I can tell you two of them right now, and I'll tell you why in a bit. But there's Denard Robinson, and he played with the Michigan Wolverines, and Brad Smith, who I believe played for Missouri. But if you recognize those names, I think one was with the Jets and one was with the Jaguars. They both were college quarterbacks that turned into special team aces and jack of all trades offensive guys. So they could do just a little bit of everything. Now, I mentioned those two because while Cribbs was one of four people to rush for 3,500 yards and throw for 7,000 in a college career, those other two guys did it. So Smith and Robinson. The other guy was a black and gold nemesis for us, Antoine Randall L. But that's some pretty good company. Now, he was the only player in NCAA history to lead a school in rushing and passing all 4 years, and he held the combined yardage record at Kent State until Julian Edelman broke it. And you know what? There's another guy, quarterback, kind of a jack of all trades, special team guys. So I think we're finding something out here if we want to find these guys that can kind of help us out in any way. And, you know, we get a ton of injuries, so maybe they can fill in. So there's something there. There's a couple familiar names there too, but I did want to mention Dean Pease was the coach. All this guy really did was he got Cribbs, put him at quarterback like he wanted, and he gave him the ball. Run past Josh. That's what you got to do. And he got that team from being poor to mediocre, because I don't think Cribbs won more than five games really while he was there, but he was a star. So what did the future hold for the Kent State star? If you would have asked him when he was done and getting ready for the combine, he probably would have said DB. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. Let's hear from the sponsors, and let's hear how that pro career went.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Let's all take a minute to wish happy birthday to the United States of America, and there's no better way to celebrate America's birthday than with the best meats available for your backyard cookouts this 4th of July season. Right now you can save 50% off site-wide during the Omaha Steaks 4th of July sale. So break out the grills and get ready for the 4th of July celebrations with Omaha Steaks. Get the burgers, the chicken, the jumbo franks, the brats, and of course, get the steaks. Those things are incredible. They've got appetizers, meatballs, wings. They've got desserts. They've even got wine. They've got everything you guys need to celebrate America's birthday with your friends and your family. Go to omahasteaks.com/dogs and use promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out, and you'll get an extra $30 off your order. So set off the fireworks in everybody's mouth with Omaha Steaks this 4th of July. Head to omahasteaks.com/dogs. Get 50% off site-wide during the 4th of July sale. And make sure you guys punch in that promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out to get an extra $30 off your order. Happy 4th of July, everybody. This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website, where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BADENSports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BADENSports.com/dogs.
All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to recap some of Josh Cribbs' pro career, and we'll get right into it. So for all those accolades, the Mac star would go undrafted. He had a little bit of interest and thought overall that he'd get drafted by the Redskins. He actually had a workout with the team, and he met the coach, Bill Musgrave, who is a special consultant for us right now. This draft, though, by the Browns, if you're curious, we took Braylon Edwards that year in 2005. He was the number three pick. The Browns, though, once the Browns, the draft had passed, they played close attention to the local star, and they basically rounded out their 90-man roster by signing the undrafted free agent. Now, awkwardly enough, they had laid out a plan, and that's where it kind of gets awkward. So imagine if you're Josh Cribbs, you've had a stellar career in the MAC conference. The Redskins are going, you know what? We wouldn't mind you playing quarterback. Bunch of other teams are contacting saying, maybe you should go to DB. Maybe you should go here. The Cleveland Browns say, listen, If you want to start right away, we need you as a returner. We believe in your returning skills, and we're going to try you out at Josh Cribbs. Josh Cribbs, you're going to try out for wide receiver. Well, he liked their plan, and just like the Kent State Golden Flash has laid out that you're going to have a chance to start right away, he wanted to play right away, so that's why he picked the Browns. Now, the Browns had Phil Savage, they had Romeo Crennel, and like I mentioned, he wanted to play immediately. But he had no idea what to do at receiver. He had no idea what to do as a kickoff return. So he had to go to work. I will mention a quick note. I looked through the unrestricted free agents, undrafted free agents, and the Browns actually took a guy named Lance Moore that year. And Lance Moore, that guy had a stellar career. And, you know, when I take a look at the receivers that we had, I can't believe that he didn't beat some of these guys out. Like, if you take a look, we had, it was okay, but we had, like, Brandon Rideau. Like, this guy couldn't beat out Brandon Rideau. Man, oh, man. We had Antonio Bryant, Josh Cribbs, Friesman Jackson, Dennis Northcutt, and Brandon Rideau finish the year. But that's only because we had Braylon Edwards finish on the IR. So I think Lance Moore could have made the team, but I thought it was a kind of a neat note that we missed out on his services, but that scouting staff was good enough to find something in him. And that scouting staff, part of that was the director of player personnel, and that was Bill Reese, which is the father of Tommy Reese, our current tight ends coach. So Cribbs, in his first year, made an instant impact. He had 1,094 yards and averaged 24.5 yards a return. And how'd that fare with the Browns' history? It was number one in his first year, and he took one to the house against the Lions. So in the next season, 2006, you're a rookie free agent. You got your rookie contract over. The Browns come up and say, hey, you want to sign a six-year deal? That's kind of unheard of for that long. But he made it well worth their time because he broke his previous record. He, for kickoff returns, was averaging over 30 return, and he went all the way up, got 1,494 yards, took another one to the house, so that's two consecutive seasons that he put one in the end zone. 2007, a banner year for Josh Cribbs. He made three house calls. One, two, three. Three times he went in, one punt return because they didn't have Dennis Northcutt anymore. He got let go the year before. And then two kickoff returns. So that was three straight seasons that our special team ace put one in the end zone, and he made his very first Pro Bowl. And he was averaging 13.5 yards a punt return and 30.7 yards kickoff return, and that's stellar. And I know I'm going on and on about his kick return ability. He was fantastic, and he was one of the best to do it. I got to know that this guy also, when I said he never did kickoffs, he never tackled anyone before. He played receiver, he played quarterback in high school. He played receiver only, so he was a running quarterback, and he never had to tackle anyone. This guy would put you down when he was on the kickoff team. So that guy never tackled before, and he would put you down. He was awesome. So you guys got to put in the comments, though, because I want to hear from you. What do you think his signature moment was? And I'm going to go after this year because he had a punt return against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to bring it up right now. It was amazing. The Steelers were basically down 21-6 and stormed back to win, to start winning 24-21. And this was a showdown for first place, kind of, because the Steelers would have been 6-4 if they lost, and the Browns would have been 6-3, but it ended up the other way, 5-4 and 7-3. But we'll go over the touchdown. So this was 2007. This was November 11. They're kicking off. They're up 4 points, and Cribbs bobbles the ball and actually has a foot in the end zone. He is so calm. He runs out of the end zone. He tiptoes aside and he is off to the races because he's got an escort of four Browns fans and takes it to the house. You guys all remember that. Yeah, he was 100% in the end zone. He made a couple guys miss, and you can't bring this guy down with arm tackles. Somebody actually, I can't see who it was, basically got to try and tackle him, and they tackled him up way too high, and he shoved them off. And then again, he met that escort of four players, and it was pay dirt. Touchdown, Browns. He was a Steelers killer, and I'm looking at the video now, and you're not going to believe who's in the video, but Mr. Ken Dorsey, our new offensive coordinator as well. But that was my signature moment. I know he's got a ton of great returns. But we'll move on to the 2008 season. And 2008 was a letdown for the Browns. And as you know, 2008, after that 2007 season, it was really two decades of awfulness. It would also mark Romeo Crennel's, that was the end of his tenure as coach. Cribs, though, managed to make it four straight seasons where he returned a touchdown. And this is an interesting note because he didn't really do a lot on the team on offense, but he would finish the year as the emergency quarterback as Brady Quinn got put on the IR. 2009 would bring in former Browns intern and Belichick disciple Eric Mangini, who also, if you don't remember or don't recall, he also had Brian Daboll as our offensive coordinator. I tell you, at that time, I couldn't stand Daboll. I don't even know if I like him now still from that fullback sweep, if you guys know what I mean. Number 16 had many, many talents, and they were getting noticed, especially on the scout team and with those emergency quarterback reps. This would pay off in a pivotal year for him, and not to mention it was the height of the Wildcat formation. The team, and it was a rough start, guys. I don't know if you remember this. They started 1-11. I was at the Detroit game where they were up by 20 points and blew it. But they ended the season on a four-game win streak, and man, that was a year to watch Josh Cribs, man. He ripped through tackles that season. Not only did he make another Pro Bowl, but he made an All-Pro. So check this out. Here's the highlights from that season. Hit personal highs in rushing and receiving for a single season. He opened up the season with a TD punt return for a touchdown, and he tied Eric Metcalf for TD returns for the Cleveland Browns. Return kickoff for a TD and single-handedly beat the Steelers to end a 13-game losing streak to the black and gold while tallying 200 all-purpose yards. He was known as a Steeler killer. He blew up KC, and this is a hard one where it wasn't going to be a signature one for me. He returned not one, but he returned two freaking kickoffs and set the all-time kickoff record in the NFL, not just for the Browns, in the NFL. He was also named the Browns MVP that year. So 2010, things just started to go down, and the Browns, they kind of forgot to reward their guy, their MVP. Cribs, he'd clean out his locker at the end of the 2009 season and just say, man, it's over. And the rest of the league, just like, pay the man. Deion Sanders, I remember watching Total Access or whatever show he was on the NFL Network. He's just like, pay the damn man. Pay the man. Man, he finally, 3 months later, he got paid. He got a 3-year, $20 million contract, and he did not make a house call that year. So he also dialed back a little bit in the runs, but he had a new personal best for receiving at 12.7 yards a catch, which netted him 292 yards. His stats went down rushing, and the reason is, I'll just bring it up right now, Peyton freaking Hillis, man, and he had a heck of a year that year, too. That was so fun watching that team, even though they didn't really do too much. We're going to head into the 2011 season. This was a real infamous year for return guys, and this is kind of why the new rule came out. The NFL made changes to the kickoff rule for about 2 years after they really acknowledged the effects of the concussions and the long-term neurological effects that were documented. You guys saw the movie Concussion, and this was all kind of like they had to figure out how to lighten the stigma and make it better for the sport. And the first thing that they did is they wanted to get rid of kickoffs and those jarring hits in between, those jarring collisions. So really what they did is they moved the kickoff forward 5 yards, and we got a lot of touchbacks since 2011 for, like, you know, 15 years or so, until they're going to make this rule change now. So the league, so his returns dwindled, and he pulled in a career high 41 receptions for 518 yards. He still managed to take a punt return, though, to the end zone. And fate would have it, though, that would probably be the last one of his career. All good things come to an end, and this was the last year of his 3-year, $20 million contract. There was no market for really returners anymore. The Wildcat was dead, and Josh Cribbs, to be honest with you, he's probably like the fourth or fifth option at receiver at this point. He still had a heck of a final season as a returner, though, 1,136 kickoff yards, 450 return yards, while missing one game. The unfortunate part about the game that he missed, and this is my estimation why they didn't resign him, Travis Benjamin returned one for a touchdown. He was drafted that year. He was a cheaper option, and he could take the fourth, fifth option for receiver as well. So what happened to Cribbs after that? He kicked around for two more seasons, not too much success with the Raiders or the Jets, also with the Colt, but he retired 2 years after his last played NFL game. Our last time he made a team. So he retired as a Brown in March 22, 2017. But for somebody that came out with no real experience for a position he played his entire professional career, listen to this. He's got an NFL record. 2 kickoff returns for 100 yards or more in a single game. Only one other person did that. Ted Ginn Jr. Most kickoff return touchdowns in a single game, tied with 9 others. So the other one, he's got 2 of 100 yards, and then 9 other people have done it 2 times, but they weren't 100 yards. Franchise record from the Browns. He owns the kickoff return yardage with 10,015. Most combined kickoff and punt returns, 12,169. Most career all-purpose yards, 14,165. Most kickoff returns in a single season, 1,809. Most kickoff return touchdowns in a single season. That was in 2009. He had 3. Most all-purpose yards in a single season, 2,510. And most career combined kickoff and punt return touchdowns was 11. So what did that net him over his entire career from college? First team All-Pro, second team All-Pro, 3 Pro Bowls, NFL kickoff returns leader, and also NFL 2000 All-Decade Team as a returner, Cleveland Browns legend, and he was retired his number for the Kent State Golden Flashes, number 9. So I started this series of throwback players with Cribbs because of the changes in the kickoff returns. I really want you to remember this guy and get a feel for how special this guy was. And man, oh man, can you imagine if AB could find Coach Stefanski and Coach Vatrone, a return specialist with QB skills that could also run a Wildcat, and a high, high degree of truck ability. And I mentioned that earlier, and all that means is he could run people over. But this guy, like, you got to find these gems. You got to find these diamonds in the rough. And basically what you're looking for is someone who's got heart, someone that does not want to give up. Like, he literally was told by his coach, the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, every year when he'd score one touchdown and bring it to the house, he's like, man, you only got one touchdown. And that would drive him to succeed more. He was a guy that, when I say you got to find a diamond in the rough, you're basically looking at somebody that, you know, didn't know he was going to be something but wasn't afraid to try it. And no matter the time, Cribbs made his mark on that field. And you can't tell me now that if he wasn't on this team and this supposed new kickoff system that they're doing, you need guys that can step one direction or one cut and go. Cribbs could do that. He could run you over. And if you were a kicker, he even said that about the kicker for the Steelers when he returned that one to the house that we went over. They don't want to see it coming and they don't even want to deal with it. So what is Cribbs up to now? Man, Cribbs supports the community in Cleveland. He lives in Cleveland. He's in the North Royalton area. He has a show with his wife. It's Cribbs in the CLV. He's dabbled in some acting, and he's been a special teams intern for the Cleveland Browns, and that got some of the itch out of him because, you know, you always hear him, watch him on social. He still wants to play a little bit, but he doesn't know about his body. He's also done some training camp commentary with Nathan Zagura on Cleveland Browns Daily. So why does everybody love him in Cleveland? Blue collar, worked hard, worked his butt off every Sunday, just like Joe Thomas did. And that guy had drive and desire, and he still shows today in all the different things that he's doing. So all I got to say now is, man, it is time to wrap it up. And you can only imagine the possibilities of having JC16 on the field with these new kickoff rules. And Crib, you know what? What kind of special wildcat version could you concoct up with this new kickoff system? Because a lot of the plays that worked out really well for him in some of those great years when he was running the wildcat, he brought those over himself and put them in the playbook. So guys, don't forget to like this episode, comment on what was your favorite Cribbs memory, and let me know what you think of the episode. Give me some ideas for maybe some upcoming players. And don't be shy with that subscription button. So guys, have a great week and let's go Brownies.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.